is here, because I don't want to, you know, fill your heads full of stuff you already know. But at the same time,
that won't take long. Figure out what we don't know.
I can turn it on and off most of the time.
Me too.
Okay.
I have installed a couple of things on it. You know, so I mean, that once you can get into the right places, that works just like Windows. But
yeah.
I mean, because it is Windows. I've not been able to get my email working, but that's probably not something we want to go into today. As I say, the main thing I've been able to do is turn it on and off.
Well, that's a start, but it's not much of a start.
That's about where I am, and I haven't cheated like Mike. I didn't get a keyboard, but I'm close.
I think the first thing to realize, and you know, this may be at the risk of stating the obvious, but the heart of this beast in terms of your keyboard stuff is the Focus 14.
Yeah.
So the thing that you're really going to have to do, if you want to figure out how to get around on this thing, if you're not going to do what you did, Mike, and plug in a keyboard, is to figure out, you know, what exactly are the keystrokes that get things done on the Braille display.
Yeah.
The most obvious ones that there are some of them that correspond to the Braille and Speak stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think of that logic, because there's more that don't than there are that do.
Well,
I mean, you know, well, except for some of the cord stuff is straightforward.
Yeah, the cord stuff is straightforward. The part that gets a little bit dicey and is probably require the biggest learning curve is the things like, how do you get Alt and Control and your F keys and that kind of stuff.
And when do you use the rocker things on top of the unit and the ones on the front?
Okay, the ones on the front will, in general, will move you up and down, especially the left-hand one will move you up and down by line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a thing like your desktop and you want to just move through the desktop, you can use that, the ones on the front, to move you up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, obviously on desktop, things will be set up sometimes in a couple of columns.
Right.
So what you may want to do there, or what you will want to do there, is use your left and right arrows. Would be your 3-chord and your 6-chord.
Oh.
.3-chord and .6-chord.
Yeah, now I'm hearing your thing saying comma.
Mine is saying comma, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Sure.
All right, I got all the commas backspaced out of it.
Oh, okay, are you running something now, or are you on your desktop?
No, I thought I was on my desktop.
Okay.
Let's see, that's dots 4-8 in the spacebar, right?
And
plus D, yeah.
Yeah, well, 4-8 and the space bar, yeah. And
okay,
then
now I'm on the desktop. DRM,
yeah.
Okay, I'm there too.
Okay. So now if you use your up and down things, you should be able to move through your desktop.
Yeah.
All right, it's not speaking, it's putting the Braille display up.
Ooh.
This PC network.
Yep.
Recycle bin.
Yeah. Okay. So Sean, yours is configured a little differently than Mike's.
Yeah. I don't know why mine's not speaking, but I can do the. All right. The rocker bar is on the front.
Yeah.
The second from the. Okay. I was doing the one on the right.
Yeah, the one on the right moves your Braille display up and down, but I don't think it speaks like that.
It doesn't. That's what I was doing. Was the one on the right.
Now, one thing that I find helpful.
Once I started the left, it worked.
Yeah, one thing that I find helpful with this machine, because half the time I just plain don't remember some of the keyboard things, And the one, and you can turn the keyboard help on by doing a space 1456 chord.
Yeah, just like in the there's one of the Braille and Speak commands. The old
yeah, and that will turn the JAWS keyboard help on, and then you can sit there and knock and bang on keys to your heart's content.
Yeah.
And it won't do anything, but it will tell you what they do. Yep.
Yeah, and it just toggles on and off.
Now, the probably the most important keys to learn when you first start, because they're going to be the ones that will help you to get around things, are what your dot, your space and dot 8 chord, you know, with other keys. So you already know one of them, which is your 4, 8 and space bar, which is the equivalent of pressing the Windows key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's done in combination with things like Windows M, Windows I, if you were going to get into settings, anything that you can do with a Windows key. I don't know if Windows E still works in 10. It used to work, you know, for File Explorer.
Right.
So if you do any of those, dot 4 and 8 plus spacebar followed by a letter will, you know, whatever the Windows keys are.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to just get to the Windows, you know, get to the start thing, the equivalent of pressing a Windows key with nothing, use the right shift and dot 4, and the right shift is on your you know,
right below the space bar.
Yeah, right below the space bar. There are two shift keys. The one on the left is shift 1 and the one on the right is shift 2. So if you did a right shift right shift 4 followed by an enter.
Right shift and what?
Right shift dot 4.
Not a chord, just the right shift and the number. And the
yes, just a right shift and the dot 4. I'm pretty sure will, and then if you do an enter,
it puts you in the search box.
Yes, it'll put you in the search box. So if you wanted to be able to do that, that's the way to do it.
It said Cortana when I did that.
Yes, and that's a Windowsism. Then you'll probably just have to then kind of use your dot 4 or 5 chord to tab around and get yourself into the search box.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what Cortana, whatever that is.
Cortana is Microsoft's pain in the butt voice thing. It's like the equivalent of Siri. How much good it would do you on the Yale Braille, I don't know, because I'm not sure. Well, I guess it does have an internal mic, but
yeah.
I just never use it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my PC here at work. I'm in my office now at home, and I can tell her, you know, open up something or.
Yeah, and in theory, you should be able to do that with the Yale Braille. I will be the first to admit that I haven't tried it because I just don't find that. I just find that stuff more of an annoyance than anything else.
Okay.
So I just don't use it. But if you want to do it. I mean, it should work with the microphone, but I don't know what it's going to do. I mm-hmm. have no idea.
Okay.
So
we'll try that offline and see.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is. Cortana is the Windows 10 equivalent of Siri. And the one thing I don't like about it, and one of the reasons I don't use it, is because if you want to search for something using Cortana, it's bound to Bing, and it's also bound to Edge.
Oh, that's right. I remember them saying that on the job.
And so you really don't want to do that, because
no.
Edge, I don't know which version of JAWS you're running, but if you're not running 2018 latest version, there's a lot of rough edges around Edge, and it's just not ready for prime time, and I don't think it's going to be ready for another 6 months anyway.
Speaking of prime time, I turned mine on this morning for the first time in a while, and I went in and opened the internet, and it wanted to update Firefox. Have they gone beyond that thing that Firefox had that doesn't work?
Well, no, they have not, and they don't expect to have that fully operational until, I think, sometime in May or June.
So you don't want to update Firefox right now?
Well, unless you know that you're updating to the ESR version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how you tell that. I'm one of those guys that has never been happy with Firefox, and I downloaded Google Chrome, and I'm using that on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the drawbacks with the El Braille is that if you decide to use their menu, or if you're going into their user guide or anything that you do from the menu, it fires up Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wish they would fix is you can't configure the menu, the thing that you do by pressing that left-hand key.
Right.
You can't change what it activates.
What's there is what you get.
Yeah, I mean, I did change it, but as soon as it updated the software, it brought it back to what it was before, so
mm-hmm.
that wasn't terribly useful. And I would like to see them change that, but I don't know if they're ever going to.
Yeah. The rumor is that there's going to be a big announcement at CSUN.
Yeah, I heard that too, but I don't know what it is, and, you know, I couldn't get beyond.
Hopefully it's the 40 and not upgrading this. That sounds selfish, I know, but...
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to do, because I got a feeling that ultimately they are going to have to get us a brand new computer to dock with this thing, because this thing that they've got, you can't expand it. There's no way to expand the memory.
Right.
And 2 gig is pitifully small.
I was surprised when after I got it, that's all it had. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Windows anything eats up 2 gigs. I mean,
well, that's right. You know. And I was not surprised that it was 2 gig when I got it. What I was surprised to find out was that you can't upgrade it because the chips are soldered to the board.
Yeah.
And that means you can't, even if you knew what you were doing, you're not going to replace them.
Are they shipping the 40 now?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I've not heard that they are, so I don't think they are. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they are either.
I looked at it, but you need a wheelbarrow to pull the thing around in.
Well, yeah, and that's always the trade-off. You know, the minute your display gets bigger, the portability.
A 20 would have been a perfect compromise. I mean, you know, 20 cells or even 18 would have been a perfect compromise.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So we know that the chords that you want to learn, that you're really going to need to know, are your 6 and 8 chord, which is the alt. And so if you wanted to do an alt some letter, you would do a 6 8, a space 6 8 followed by the letter. You know, that would be an alt and the letter.
Mm-hmm. Lift the space 6 8 up and then hit the letter. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The five eight chord is the insert chord, the insert key.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for instance, you wanted to find out where you were, you would do a 5 8 chord followed by a T, which would read you the title bar.
All right.
So space 5 8 and then followed by the letter T.
Title is Cortana.
Oh, are you still in Cortana?
No, then it got me back to the search box.
I just did it, and mine said title is desktop.
Yeah, and that's what it should have said.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? What did you get, Sean, when you did
search box? But I can go back to the desktop, I think.
I'm not sure you hit the right keys, and that's one of the things that makes it frustrating to learn. Is especially when you're first learning, you kind of aren't always sure.
You don't have a lot of room on this thing to make a mistake with your it's not, you know, where your hands go isn't very forgiving. It's
well,
especially if you have big hands.
Yeah, I got more used to that after I thought about it. I mean, but
I mean, I understand it and I'll get used to it, but I mean, yeah.
you don't have that space that you have for some
of the other stuff.
And because the space is down below and there's nothing between, your hands are very close together.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sean, try...
Yeah, I'm on the desktop now.
Okay, and did it read the title when you did that?
Well, I'm going to do 5...
Space 5 and 8, which is 8 being the enter key.
The enter key.
followed by the letter T.
Yes.
Okay.
Title is desktop.
Okay, so that, yeah, and now somebody's L Notes, was that?
I went down a line that said L Notes.
Okay.
L Notes is not open, it was just on the desktop.
Okay, because when I heard that, for a second I went, wait a minute, that didn't compute because, it wouldn't say L Notes followed by desktop. But anyway, so if you were going to get your title, that's what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, .4 we already covered, which is the Windows key. So if you were gonna do a Windows key plus something, you would do .4 8 chord followed by whatever letter you were gonna do. If it was an I, if it was the E, or if it was, whatever ones you know of those Windows key plus something. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So now we go to the other side of the keyboard, and this is where things get more interesting. A .18 chord, followed by the letters A through L, are your function keys. So if you wanted to do an F4, you would do a .18 chord followed by the letter D. Now that isn't going to make a lot of sense because F4 doesn't do anything particular. But let's say you wanted to do an Alt F4, which you might want to do to close something out.
Right.
Here's what you'd have to do. You would do a 1, a 6, and an 8 along with space. And the reason you do that is because you're trying to do two things. You're trying to get the Alt, but you also want the next thing that you press to be a function key. So to do an Alt F4, we do a .1, 6, 8, and space. Let those up, and then press the D, and that is how you get the Alt F4. Okay, now you don't want to do that. Yeah.
No, just escape.
Yeah, you did it.
Now, if I do .168 and then L for F12, it should give me the time, right?
No, because it's not Alt F12.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's not.
Good one, Mike. Good one.
What about button there? I think it is it button 1, 4 or 3 or something up on top gives the time, doesn't it?
It's Shift F12 that gives you the time.
Well, it isn't even Shift.
Or it's Insert F12.
Insert F12.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of other ways to get the time. And Sean,
I got to get my time set. It still thinks it's on Pacific time. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to change that. So,
yeah.
You can use the third key from the left up on top, in other words, the one that's just to the right of the volume, will also give you the time, I think.
I tried that, but it didn't do it. It's saying enter.
Yeah.
It's got my JAWS serial number up
there. Wait a minute. Which keys are you pressing now?
That's me. That was me. I hit the wrong thing.
Geez.
I'm pressing the, like, there are these.
Oh, hush.
Actually the fifth one from the left.
Yeah, okay. And I believe that in its default setting, that was supposed to...
That's right. I need to get out of where I am, though.
Yeah, because... And sometimes those keys on top don't work right if you're in the wrong thing. Which is a failing of the L Braille, and I don't know why. I mean, they should work all the time, but they don't always work.
Yeah, that next to the last key on the right up there, on that list of keys above all the other stuff, right below where it says L Braille, that next to the last key on the right will give you the time.
Time, yeah. And if you press it twice, it'll give you the date.
Right.
Now, I changed that because there are other ways to get the time, and I wanted to have some other things appear, in that menu. So I went into the keyboard editor and changed mine. But I wouldn't suggest you do that until you get a little more familiar with how things are working. So we've got the trickiest one so far is that is the function keys combined with other things. And I don't know any way to explain that will be easy to swallow. It's just one of those things you kind of have to.
You hit all the other stuff, and then the function key, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So to get F12, so to get insert F12, you would have to do dots 1, 5, 6.
Not 1, 5, and 6, because that would give you, I'm not even sure what that would
yeah.
be, but 1, 5, and 8. So if you wanted insert plus F12, you would do 1, 5, 8, followed by the L,
mm-hmm.
which is probably about the hardest way you'll ever have to get to try and get
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah. It does work, and if you get in a jam and you can't remember what some of the other keys are, it also turns out that you can get the time by doing shift right plus the letter L at the same time. No chord, just shift right and the letter L. That'll give you the time too.
Okay.
So it does.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I changed that other key up on top, because I didn't see the point of having the duplicates, and
mm-hmm.
you know. But I mean, again, that's something you can change or not change when later on if you feel so inspired. So
go
the
go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Sean.
I'm looking at my desktop, and it's mm-hmm. JAWS 18 that's got all the .7 and .8 below it with a blinking cursor, and then at sometimes it has all those. What about the status cells at the left? Can we get rid of those, or there
actually, I don't think there are any status cells on the Focus 14.
Well, there's a what she's talking about. It'll say STS.
Oh, yes.
And then there's a space, and then it reads whatever your current line is or focus is.
Yes.
It'll say STS, and then it, you know what she's talking about is that gobbles up a lot of display.
Yes, it does, and you have to do that in JAWS, and I did it, and I am now trying to remember how I did it.
mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but I will find
I know it. Insert V gets you into the
verbosity stuff.
Into
those quick settings.
Quick settings.
Into the quick settings, but I'm not sure that's.
That's
where
not.
It is.
I don't think that's in the quick settings. I think you.
No,
can
I don't.
Into the settings that's user. What is that? What do they call that? User settings.
One of the user settings, and I'm going to have to research that and find it. And I think what I'll do is I'll maybe email you guys, because I know I did it, and I. You know, I fixed it once. And
is there a reason to not do it?
Not as far as I'm concerned. I mean, to me, the best reason to do it is because it's just, you know, taking up real estate on your display.
Right.
Yeah.
And there may be a way to have it speak it but not braille it, and I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't need it because I know what. You know, I know what a list box is. I know I don't need to have it say LBX every time. I mean, to me, that's just wasted verbiage.
What about grade 2? How do I get to input and output grade 2?
Okay, the chord that changes that is dots 1, 2, 4, 7 and spacebar, and that toggles that. Between the various translations?
7? 1, 2, 4, and 7.
7 is the left-hand pinky finger backspace. Mm-hmm.
And space.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I did that, it didn't say anything.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm telling you the wrong chord here.
I learned that one too, Mike.
Hang on a second. I got to put you guys on speaker because I don't have enough hands to hold it.
That's all right. We're on speaker.
We're on speaker too.
Okay, well, we're going to hope that we. Yeah, dots 1, 2, 4, and 7, with the, along with the space bar, will turn the translation. It'll say off, on for display, and
1, 2, 4?
And 1, 2, 4, 7, and space.
Man's not talking.
Mike.
1, 2, 4, 7, space.
Yep. 1, 2, 4, 7.
Is the braille showing anything?
Nope.
Are you on your desktop or are you in the land of lost focus?
It says DSK on my left.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that?
Yep. Anyway, it's not talking, but I'll play with it later.
Yeah, but that is the command. And now, is it showing up on the braille display? If you do that?
It's not doing anything on the braille display. When I hit that, it doesn't change the braille display at all.
Oh, yeah, it really should. If you put your keyboard help on and try 1, 2, 4, 7 chord, what do you get?
Well, let's try that. Nothing. Well, you said 1, 2, 4, 7, right? F.
1, 2, 4, 5, 7. Did I say 1, 2, 4, 7?
Yeah. Yeah.
4, 5, 7.
Ah.
Okay. Your question mark chord again, or your TH sign chord?
On for display. On for input. Off.
Yep. It's a three-way toggle.
All right. Yeah, you got on for display, on for input, and off.
Yeah. Okay. And I will tell you that there are going to be times when you're better off turning that thing off and not trying to write in grade 2 braille. Grade 2 braille seems to work pretty well as long as you're just writing. But when you go back and start trying to delete things and move things around, it can get real botched up. So what I usually do is I either have it off or on for display and not on for input, unless I know that I'm going to be, you know, just writing and not having to do any heavy editing.
Oh, it says contract a braille on for input. Do I do it again to toggle it?
Yeah, it just toggles around. It wraps around.
You just keep, it's a toggle.
Well, I thought there was a setting to do both, input and...
Well, that does do both. When it says on for input, it's still on for display.
Okay.
So the only time it ever gets turned off for display is when it says off, and then it's off for everything.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be bright enough under certain conditions to know when it needs to be in computer braille. Like if you're in the address bar on your browser, you should be able to enter in computer braille, and it does say computer braille, but sometimes it doesn't work right, and I don't know why, and even Ron couldn't tell me when I asked him. He wasn't sure why either.
Okay, so... We're going to have to go into the menu to get this, the dot 7 and 8 out.
Not the dot 7 and 8, but that DSK on the left. The dot 7 and 8, I don't know if that'll come out.
You might be able to, but I'm not sure that you should, because especially in computer braille, if you turn that off, you're not going to know whether letters are uppercase or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
You know, I usually keep that on. So Okay, we've got two more keys to, or two more of the those chords with the dot eight that we have to think about, and that is dot two and dot eight, which is also the insert key. I don't know what the difference is between dot 2 8 and dot 5.
It's easier to make.
Probably, yeah. They seem to do the same thing, and I don't know why they're both there, but they are. Dot three and eight is your control. So if you want to do a control character, you would do a dot three space and dot eight, followed by whatever letter it was that you wanted to do.
You do dot 3 8 and then the
Letter.
Letter, yeah, control D or control
right.
Whatever.
Now if you wanted to do a control alt plus a letter, then you would do dots 3 6 and 8
mm-hmm.
spacebar followed by the letter.
Stack. Yeah.
If you wanted to do a control plus a function key, you would do dot 1 3 8 followed by the letters A through L.
Yeah.
So again, you can combine control alt and control alt and function. You know, you kind of mix them all together, and for a lot of people that's a real tough concept to grasp. But it's the only way they could implement all that on a Braille keyboard.
Right. So what about can we look at the L Braille menu and what's in there and what
sure.
to do with it?
Sure. Well, yeah, we can do that. One of the things about that menu is that it often doesn't work unless you happen to be sitting on the desktop. So if you press the key and it doesn't do anything, you know, try to get to the desktop.
Mm-hmm. And that's the left-hand key above all the Braille, L Braille itself.
Okay, now why won't this work? Let's see.
Yeah, like you said, I've noticed that you have to be on the desktop for that to really do anything.
I'm going to do, to get to the desktop. It's not necessarily my desktop, is it?
Okay, what do you think you need to do to get to the desktop?
4 8 and then D, right?
Yep.
Chord 4 8 and then D?
Chord 4 8 followed by a D should get you to the desktop.
Okay.
Now you're on your desktop.
I'm on it. So I'm going to hit this button up here.
Yep.
The left one.
Yep.
It says escape. Why does it do that?
No, not that. Really? You hit the button up on top and it said escape?
Yes.
Yeah, now.
That's mine you're hearing.
All right, so let's see. What the deal is here?
Okay, we got to figure out what's going on with Sean's, because escape is not what it should be even saying. It should just go right into that menu.
Sure it wasn't saying Skype?
All right, Skype is on the desktop for sure.
No, yeah, Skype's on the menu.
Oh.
Skype is in the menu.
Well, it's Yeah, okay. Wait a minute, whose keyboard is that? Is that yours, Mike, or Sean's?
That was mine. It just said email.
Yeah, see, it's really confusing.
Sorry about that.
You guys are both playing with the keyboard, because then I can't tell who's doing what.
All right, it says quick. Must be start.
Hit escape and start over. The one thing I've done that she hasn't done yet is I've gone in and set my verbosity settings to advanced.
Yeah.
So that's going to make mine talk a little different.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still on my desktop.
All right. So, but you're saying if you hit that the button up on top, not on the keyboard itself, but on but up on the top, the little
yes,
little rectangle right below where the Braille is.
Right, because they are. I'm sitting on Mozilla right now on my desktop.
Yeah,
that's what's showing on my display.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna hit this button.
That's weird. Why is it doing that?
What if I hold it down? Well,
that'll do something different.
That's something totally different.
That's the emergency thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the emergency.
Yeah. What if you need to restart?
No, that's wow.
Skype. Now Skype in the menu. That's on my desk.
No, Skype is in that menu.
Skype is in the menu.
Skype is in the menu.
You may be in the menu.
If you hit up arrow once from Skype, it should say Instant Messenger. Hit your left top side rocker.
That's the desktop.
That's the desktop. Now hit your menu button again.
But it says L Brown Notes on the... It says L Brown Notes. Five of...
All right, hit...
On the display. I think I'm in it, but it's not talking.
Are you using the left one, or the up and down rocker on the left or the right?
You should be using the left rocker switch to navigate through that menu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what confusing me is why it's saying escape every time that key. Because that key is supposed to be the L Braille menu. And the key we're talking about is to the left and right below where it says L Braille. The very first key on the left is the one that you want to.
Yes.
I think you need to try to restart. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that.
Yeah, I think I might try that too. So, I think we can get to the emergency menu if you press and hold that top key.
No.
Just do a regular restart with the keyboard. See if it'll let her do that.
Well, see, the one thing you can do from your desktop is you can do an Alt F4, which will get into the dialog to shut down Windows, and then you can do a restart from there.
All right, so I'm going to do 4, 6, and 8. Is that right? The chord.
What? 1, 4, 6, 8. Because you want to do Alt F4.
Okay.
Oh no! Wait, I'm sorry. No, that's not true. No.
6, 8.
1, 6, and 8. 1, 6, 8, then followed by a D.
Shut down Windows dialog.
There you go. Now use your left rocker switch to get to restart, which should be the next.
I'm going to hit enter on it, right?
No, well, yeah, but when it says restart.
Oh. Okay.
Well,
you did it.
Did you do it on shutdown?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's just going to shut it off.
It's going to shut it off. And it takes two forever.
I know.
It's already off.
Has it vibrated yet and made it sound like a...
Yep, yep.
So it shuts down.
It shuts down pretty quick, but...
All right, so...
We're coming back up now.
And what I found that I do it all the time, and it gets me in trouble, is I press that on, you know, the button to turn it on, but I don't... it down until it vibrates, and you know, then I wonder why it's not doing anything. But you may not.
Steve, does your fan sometimes make a lot of noise?
No, mine's been pretty quiet.
Every now and then mine sounds like it's got a piece of paper stuck in it. I can't make it do it, but if I shut it down and turn it back on, it won't do, you know, it'll behave.
Yeah, I've heard reports fans from other people, but I've not had that problem. Oh, there she is. She's coming up.
It says focus 14, and then that disappeared and came back and disappeared.
Yeah, it's going to do that two or three times.
Yeah.
And if you look over to the right, it'll say 5.71 or whatever version you've got. Mine's 5.71. But
yeah, mine is too.
Okay, Jaws Home Use Edition. Here we are.
Okay, right. Now you're back up. So without doing anything else, press that top button and see if it... What the heck is... You know that sounds like something that maybe ought to be reported to tech support.
It really, I mean, I've in all the stuck modes I've gotten mine into, I've not made mine do that yet.
Yeah, the only reason I could think of it doing that was if somebody got into the keyboard editor and changed something.
I don't think so. I haven't done that much.
She hadn't used it that much.
Oh, I know. You wouldn't have done that. So why it's saying escape is...
All right, hold it down, Sean, and hold it down till it does, see if it does anything different.
No. Wow, you know, it sounds like that thing got... It sounds like that key got changed to something stupid, but why it should have... I think I'd make...
call Freedom about that one.
I would definitely call Freedom about that one, because that's not... I mean, if I were there in the same room with you, I would go into the keyboard edit. Well, you can't even get there, because you can't get to the stupid menu. Yeah.
All I have now is just the blinking cursor.
Try your Z-chord escape, Sean.
It says escape, and it's...
All right, now hit your menu again.
No, there's something.
Something's hanging up your menu.
Yeah, because that's definitely one for Freedom Scientific to...
Okay. Well, I don't want to take, you know, go ahead and...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, look at these other keys up there. Let's try those and see what happens with her.
Yeah. Now, the second key... If you press the second key, your battery level.
All right, it said escape.
Your second key said escape?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's you're going to have to call Freedom.
That may have to go back to Freedom.
I think so, because that if they ship that way, which they...
But it worked one time. How did I get to my... Is it gonna? I think it's coming up not on my desktop.
It doesn't come up on your desktop, usually, does it, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does. It does on mine, and I can't.
It's not coming up on the desktop.
Where is it coming up?
It just said Jaws Homies Edition, and that's a blank screen with a blinking cursor. And the second.
Sometimes what happens, and I'm not, and yeah, there may be. Now, there may be some other things that have to get configured there. Like, I think there's a thing in Windows in the control panel. You can tell it to always, you know, come up on the desktop.
Uh-huh.
And I think I would talk to Freedom about both of those things, and they really should. And part of the reason I say call Freedom is because they need to understand some of these things are just not as easy as they want everybody to believe that they are. I mean, you know, if you're a backyard mechanic and you're willing to play with these things, you can probably wrestle a bear to the ground.
And they really should have them all out of the box, all come up the same way.
Yes, they should. And they really need to know that this isn't the easy machine that they keep claiming that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now,
all right,
it says L Braille 1 of...
Yeah, you're on the desktop now. If it's
now good. I'm on the desktop. Now let's see what this does. I'm going to press the second button.
And it still says escape.
Yeah, so you've got something else wrong.
Something's hung up. Something's got those keys locked out or hung up. Or.
Yeah, they're going to have... You may have to send that back to get that fixed. I think what they ought to do is just send you and take that one back. And
yeah, no longer than she's had it, they ought to send her a new one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She's only had yours, what, 3 weeks?
About four.
Yeah, I think that should go back, and I think they ought to send you a replacement. Whether they'll do it or not, who knows? But I think I'd be pretty forceful about that, because.
You know, I got the battery thing to do earlier today. That's weird, isn't it?
It is because I mean, you know, there's.
You know what? The third button, like E3 or whatever that is, it said enter when I hit it.
Yeah, see, there's something.
There's something. That's because the third button is your volume. Your.
Well, the middle two are volume.
Hmm.
The way they are in the manual, it's 1, 2, and then volume and 3.
And then the E3 and E4.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those keys are working the way they're supposed to, and they got to help you out of that one, because that.
Yeah, when I hit that pass the volume control, I get the time.
Yeah. What happens if you hit the four? If you hit E4, Sean?
If I hit what?
E4.
The last one.
Oh, that one, that's enter too. Oh boy, that thing is really.
When I hit my E4, I get L notes.
Yes, and that's what it should do.
Okay. Well, I mean, don't let me hang y'all up, because I mean, I could sit here and listen to you.
Well, I mean, there's still other stuff we can do. We just can't.
Well, you and y'all can look at that menu if you want to look at the L problem.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know what. Right now, we can come back and do that later when we get yours working. If you know, if Steve wants to do it that way.
Yeah, and Mike,
it's pretty self-explanatory in terms of it just opens up certain programs that are in there.
It does. It really does, and that's all it does. Now,
have you used L Notes for anything?
I use it as a kind of a database. I don't use it if I'm going to just take. You know, if I just want to write something down in a file,
mm-hmm.
I'll just open it up in Notepad.
Yeah.
But what I like L Notes for is things like phone numbers, because I can index them. I can put each note as the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the note will be the person's name, and then the text part of the note, I can fill in their phone number and their address and, you know, email and all kinds of stuff
really?
About them.
Can you sort them?
Yep. Yeah, they're sorted in alphabetical order.
Okay.
So as long as you
like
say,
the old Braille and Speak phone file was, the Braille-like phone file, sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So as long as you set the thing up as like your note name would be Duke, comma, Mike,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it'll sort it alphabetically. You can also sort, I think, by something else. I think by date, but I don't see the point of that. That I, you know, just sort it alphabetically because, you know, sorting it by date's kind of crazy, you know, for that kind of thing. I mean, it might be good for something else, but I use it for that. I have never been able to get the recording part of that thing to work properly. They say if you press and hold F4, it'll record.
Yeah,
but I've never gotten that to work, and I'm not greatly upset about it because I just don't usually do that.
Yeah,
I don't do it on a note taker. I do it on something else, like
what size SD card did you put in yours?
I'm sorry. Oh, SD card?
Yeah.
I don't even have an SD card in there most of the time, but I've put them in when I wanted to shuffle stuff around. I don't usually.
I bought I think it's a 64 I bought and stuck in it.
Yeah.
And just leave in there so I wouldn't have to store into the internal stuff.
Well, now, I can tell you one thing, and you may not be aware of this. There are actually two disk drives on there. There's a C drive, which has all your Windows stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's a D drive, which has all your documents and all the
That's
other.
That's where your My Documents folder is and all that.
And the D drive has about, I think it's got 5 or 6 gig, and the C drive is a little itty bitty drive that's big enough to hold the system stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't by default let you write to the drive where the system stuff is, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
Which
is the way it should. You know, that's the way it should be.
That's right. But you can get terribly crossed up if you're used to doing things the old Windows way and you don't realize where your stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
You go to this PC and you say, "Oh yeah, it's all on the C drive." No, it isn't.
Yeah, I figured that out the first time I went there, and I thought, "Oh, okay, I see why." It's like they partitioned the drive and made a one drive for the system, which is, as I say, it's what they should do, and have everything routed to that other drive.
Yeah.
Keep it out of your system stuff.
I wish they had made the system drive a little bit bigger, because right now I'm finding that I've got 27 of the 29 gig used up on the drive, and I can't make it any smaller, and I got a funny feeling it's preventing me from installing updates in Windows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not totally sure, and one of these days I'm going to have to call.
If you're on some kind of email list, ask about running disk cleanup or whatever Windows 10 calls it.
Yeah, that's what they call it, disk cleanup.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Okay.
And it doesn't make it any smaller. There is something in storage that allows you to change where things are stored, but I haven't quite dared to do that because I didn't know what it might mess up.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a way, you shouldn't have to, but, you know, I don't know. I've got to look into that some more and try to figure out what's going on, but it's not been high on my list of things to do because, you know, it's just... somehow get around to it someday.
Yeah.
The second of those two keys, Mike, for you, which you can get your battery levels, you know, your battery level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you but if you double tap it, if you tap it twice, it'll tell you your network status.
It says not connected, connections are available. Because where my desk is, I'm in sort of the black hole for the wireless in the agency. I can take four steps down the hall and have like 90% signal, and at my desk it usually sits around 6. And so I don't normally connect it, you know. I mean, it'll connect and it'll drop out and stuff. And it's one of the things the tech guys have been working on, but they haven't put the right antenna pointed toward my desk yet.
Yeah. Have you, Mike, have you played around with the emergency menu at all? Do you know how that works?
Is that when you hold down the left-hand menu key?
Yeah, you hold down E1, and there are really only...
You got JAWS restart.
Yep.
Shut down.
And reboot. System reboot, I think it's called.
Let's see.
And that one...
Well, I see shutdown, and now I'm stuck.
I think what you have to do is not use the rockers, but you have to use the little rockers up on the top.
Yeah, there it is. System reboot. What's the difference in that and draw and restart?
Nothing.
Oh, JAWS restart.
JAWS restart, yeah.
Yeah.
And that thing, I think, is if you suddenly get into a position where it's just not speaking and you can't make it speak.
Can you get out of that without, can you get out of that menu without doing something?
Yes, I think you can do it with a Z cord. I think.
Hey. Escape doesn't do it.
Hang on, let me figure out what I need. Yeah.
I'm pressing these metal buttons that are supposed to be volume, and it's moving me back and forth on my desktop. Listen, this is the third one.
Oh my God.
Those buttons are all...
I'm pressing the fourth one.
Those buttons are totally screwed up.
Yeah, you got... I don't even know what... that.
And the only thing that, I mean, the guy that I got it from, the dealer, he put my JAWS on it, but other than that...
Yeah, there's still something that's gotten...
There's
something that's gotten haywired in it. And that you may want to call Chip about that, because he may need to go to Freedom on your behalf.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
See what I can do with them.
All right, back to getting out of this menu.
I think you can get out of the menu by just pressing E1 again.
Hold it down or just...
No, just...
Yep, that did it.
Yep. So, that emergency menu, again, it's a nice...
I used it one time, and I forget what I did, but I didn't think it was... You know, I've tried to shut it down, and it wasn't shutting down, so I had it restart. And it did, and then I could shut it down. But
yeah, the I've had sometimes I've had the Braille display stay on.
Yeah, that happens to me some. That happens to me a lot, actually.
Yeah, and
it'll shut down, but the display will stay up, and it'll say press a router. It's wanting to tell you to press a router key or something, but you know then you can't move the display forward to see what the rest of the thing is. And you press one of the router buttons, and it just sits there.
Yeah, and you can usually, and that doesn't mean your machine isn't shut down. It just means the display didn't go off the way it was supposed to.
Right.
I usually just turn the machine on and let it restart and then shut it down again.
Yeah,
or
that's what I've had to do.
Or sometimes I'll open up that little cover on the left-hand side and just reach in and hit the bar on the display that'll turn it off and get it turned off that way.
Yeah.
What bar?
The little switch on the side of the Focus 14 that turns it on and off if you don't have it plugged into the L rail.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to do that, but every once in a while you do. The other thing that I've sometimes had happen, have you ever had it start and then just get stuck in that thing where it's just sitting there going tick, 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 tick?
Yep. Happened to me this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened to me a few times, yeah.
What I usually do with that is I just hold that button in until it shuts down and then start it over again.
Hold the regular on-off button on the front?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've done.
Yeah. Mike, do you have... I was telling Sean the other day that it would be you might want to look at all of the various keyboard options, our keyboard commands for the Focus 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if those are in the user guide. I think they may be in the DOS help, and I know they're in the Focus.
I've got them in the Braille. There's a Braille, you know, that big Braille manual that came with it.
Oh, okay.
In the 14, there. I think all the keyboard commands are in there.
Yeah, because there's a lot more of them that we haven't even covered, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's thousands of them, or at least it seems like it's that many.
There are, and some of them are really useful. I mean, things like Shift-1 plus .4-5 is an alt tab, so if you're moving around between... If you got several programs open and you want to move around...
Yeah, I think the big thing that Sean and I were both after was, you know... If you look at this thing, and you know, we've seen it with ham radio stuff too, you look at this manual, and it's just so darn overwhelming. It's like, where the heck do I start? You know?
I know.
And I think that's the big thing. You know, yeah, we can get into that, and later as we go, we can figure out some of this, more of this stuff on our own. And folks like you and I that push buttons and see what happens, you know, either figure it out or get in trouble.
Well,
but, you know.
Yeah,
I think Sean and I mainly are wanting somebody to say, okay, you know, here's the basic stuff, and let's do, you know, to make it do your basic whatever. Did you put Microsoft Word or 365 or whatever they call it this week on yours?
No, I haven't done anything with Office on mine because I don't use a note taker a lot for, you know, when I really want to do serious stuff.
Yeah.
With the computer, I've mostly put. Oddly, I mean, it's an odd mixture of stuff that I put on. I put Echo Link on there.
Yeah.
I put the programs for programming my various Kenwood radios on there.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I put on there? I was gonna do Team Talk, but that turned out to be kind of a bust because I couldn't figure out any way to hold down a control and a space at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the problems with this.
Have you used Team Viewer for anything?
You know, I haven't. In fact, I think I took it off the machine.
It's a really accessible, program?
Team Viewer. I know what it is. But I got real excited when I saw it online because that's what they use out here to remote into our automation systems, our broadcast automations. If they screw up during the weekend and we need to change a file out or move a file and where it should have been before we left, they use TeamViewer for that. So my boss and I both got real excited about that. And one of the things that I'm going to do is get TeamViewer going and interface it with my automation system so I can tell it to play the stormy weather file instead of the sunshine file or whatever I need it to do. If something comes up over the weekend, I don't have to run down here to do it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing to concentrate on at first is to just get comfortable navigating around.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were, we were kind of wanting you to show us,
I mean, I don't know.
And if it takes more than one session, that's fine.
Yeah, it's hard for me to assess, how helpful this has been for you guys.
Well, except for getting Sean's. basically, it's always helpful to find somebody else who does this and have it work. So that this really does work. And then in the process, we found out Sean has this menu issue that we got to get resolved.
Yeah.
I think it's been really helpful.
I think it is.
I want to do it. I want to get mine fixed and do it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not. I'm going to learn this a lot better doing it this way than I am digging it out.
Oh yeah, I think everyone does. But I would say for you, Mike, since yours is obviously not broken.
yet
is to just I probably spent the first month not really doing anything all that astounding, just navigating around, being on web pages and trying to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read this, how do I do it? I in and out of keyboard help a lot because I could never remember the chords.
Mm-hmm.
I also spent a lot of time looking at the keyboard commands and, I just tried to do this. How do I do it?
Right.
That kind of stuff. And I didn't try anything complicated until I started. And then the other thing I did is I got into Notepad and I started editing some files.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant I had to learn chords like, select from the cursor to the end of the line and select, and we haven't even begun to cover all that stuff.
Right.
But they are there, but what you're going to have to do is you're just going to have to look at them and practice with them and try to remember them.
Yeah.
When I restarted this, it came back up in grade one, I guess it's either grade one or computer.
Computer, bro.
Is it supposed to stay in grade two or not?
Well, I think it comes up in the last place it was when you left.
I think you toggled back a while ago when you were
you did.
When you were doing that, looking at it, you toggled back around.
I did.
Yeah, you did because we were playing with that and.
Okay. And, so if I want it, how can I get it back to? I saw the system tray. I saw the network. It was looking at my network connection.
Yep.
You typed in my password.
Okay, but you want to get it back so that it's always in grade two?
I think.
Okay, that's your chord 12457, and if you want it in grade two, you want it to say for both.
But you're probably going to have to come out of that to type in your password if you've got a mixture of letters and numbers in your password.
Yeah, that would... it's supposed to be bright enough to switch it to computer braille, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Okay. And...
Okay. Well,
Well, I don't know what password it wanted you to type in, because it sounds like you're already into the system.
I'm on my desktop.
Yeah, but where was it prompting you for your password?
To log into her to get on.
Oh, I found it. So I don't know how. Oh, I looked at. What I looked at, this PC maybe? I don't know.
When it's first coming up, I've noticed that mine will sometimes come up and it'll put a sign in display up when you turn it on, but then if you let it sit there a minute, it goes on and cranks it.
Yeah, and that's the reason that it's doing that is that it'll do it if Windows is in the middle of working on updates.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just does it just because when you start, but I mean, it's not anything you have to worry about.
Right.
That's
what I was wondering, if that's what she was seeing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I don't know, because we've kind of gone past that and we didn't.
Well, all right, now I see Action Center button. System tray.
Okay, you're down on the window that's down on the bottom. You know where if you tab around, you've got your desktop.
You're in the F11 or, window on the desk on your big machine.
Yeah.
It sounds like you may be over on the taskbar.
Yeah.
What I did with mine, just to simplify things, is I got rid of some of those things like Task View button. You know, you can go into your when you come around to those things, if you hit one you don't like, you can get into the context menu, which you could do with like a Shift F10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a key for getting into the context menu, except now I can't for the life of me remember what it is. And this is the thing that drives me crazy with this thing, is that, you know, everything is so counterintuitive that it's like it's going to be a lifetime before I get it memorized.
I saw that somewhere. I saw the applications key somewhere in the manual, but I have no clue where.
Yeah, I know, and I know it's around. I know it's here because I've done it, and now I just can't remember what it is. And I know if I really need it, I'll turn keyboard help on, and I'll just keep pushing buttons till I find it. But that's not a very productive way to get through life. And I'll be the first one to admit it, but
real quick, Steve, on the front of this thing, on the very front edge of the display.
Yep.
The little concave buttons on the far left and far right.
Yes, those are used in conjunction with some other things, and again, I think you're best, because I don't remember exactly what mm-hmm. they do. But it's in the
manual. I read it the other day.
Yeah, it's in the Focus 4.
And then you got the buttons to the on either side of the rocker switches right before the shift keys.
Yeah, those are your panning controls.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're reading.
Yeah, and that's what you'd use to scroll your display left and right. Now you can also use the. You know the little rocker switches up on top?
Mm-hmm.
The button above that
is your
determines
button.
What those things will determines the way those rocker switches work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so those are what Freedom Scientific used to call the whiz wheels. Those little rocker switches are the whiz wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they cover that topic in the JAWS help, as they do a lot of things. But you know, again, they really need to do a much more organized job of presenting the documentation that you need to get you going.
Got that right.
I mean, this is a machine that I would only recommend to people who really. Very, very much want a Windows 10 environment, are willing to go through a steep learning curve to get a note taker that does it. For most people, I recommend the Polaris these days, because I think of all the new note takers, that's the best one out right now. And it's got its problems. But
I was going to say, did they ever get all the problems resolved in it?
Well, that's typical hymns.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they...
I think it's typical of all of them.
Well, it is, but hymns is notorious for just doing release after release after release, where they fix one thing, break three, you know, and they're always willing to put out the fires, but if they took the time to do it right, they wouldn't have so many fires to put out.
Yeah.
But...
they beta the thing a little better first, you know, or whatever, even, you know.
Well, yeah, and even their beta, I mean, they just tell people to beat on it until it malfunctions. You know, that's not the way you test software. I mean, that's one test, but it's not the only one.
No.
And it's not even a good one.
I mean, well, why don't we play with this stuff that we've got and see if we can get Sean's L Braille keys issue resolved?
Yeah, I think that...
schedule something else with you again, and we'll pick a topic and see if we can't beat it to death.
Yeah, and you know, once you've had a chance to play with it, you can then come back and say, you know, these are the things that are hanging me up or puzzling me or whatever, and we can, you know, we can maybe do a more organized job of trying to figure it out.
And let us know how often you want you know, reimbursement for your time and stuff.
Well, you know, I appreciate that you want to do that, but I also feel like this is, you know, I'm feeling like this is a somewhat haphazard way that we're going through it, and I don't want to just.
Well, I mean, it's not like she said, you know, it makes us focus and pay more attention, so it's worth a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
Very much.
Well, I mean, you know. I'm still, you know, I'm still comfortable with the rate that I quoted you, Sean, the other day, which is, you know, $20 per hour. So
yeah, you know. I mean, when, you know, you want it after this hour, you want it after another hour.
Let's do another hour, and you know,
all right.
I know where you guys live, more or less. It's not going to be a huge problem.
Yeah. But anyway, anything else you want to tackle, Sean?
You think they're going to have to remote into this thing to look at it, or what?
I think you're going to have. Well, unless they have some magic that I don't know about, I think you're going to have to send it back to them to get it straightened out. Because, I mean, the keys aren't even doing what they're supposed to do, and I can't think of any reason why they shouldn't. I'm stumped. I mean, I've never seen the keys on the top start acting as if they were keys on your keyboard.
No, it wasn't. It was doing a little bit earlier, and then for some reason I did get it to give me the battery level. I was just looking through this manual. The application key is Light+Shift+.2.
Okay.
Yeah.
But see, the buttons up on top are independent of all the keyboard keys. I mean, they're supposed to invoke menus.
Yeah, because they're built into the L Braille itself. They're not part of the Focus 14.
That's right. And the only thing that I can think of is that maybe something got corrupted. But I think that's all done in the firmware. I don't think that's anything that we can. I mean, you can change stuff with the keyboard editor, but I think the keyboard editor just writes to I don't even know how that works, and that's why I think Freedom Scientific is going to have to help you out with this.
How do I move left to right arrows?
Left arrow is a space and .3.
Okay.
And right arrow is .6 and a space.
Okay.
And those are the same chords that you used to use on a Braille and speak?
Right, to move by character?
Move
by character, and so dot two chord moves by word, moves backward by word, and dot five chord moves forward by word, and dot one chord moves back by line, and four moves forward by line.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, those are universal to all note takers.
I'm going to call them as soon as we get off the phone.
Yeah, I definitely would. And you know, you may have to take this one to somebody above their usual customer service people, some of whom are very good and some of whom are absolutely horrible.
Who's the best one to get?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Of course, you don't really have any idea who you're going to get.
Well, no, that's the trouble. And so...
Direct extension, which they don't usually give out.
No, they don't like to tell you stuff like that. And when I called about a problem I was having, I got some guy who sounded like he was older than dirt, and he started telling me stupid stuff that I knew wasn't true. And I told him, no, you know, I'll do what you tell me to do, but I know it's not going to work. And you know, then he says, well, you know, I'm blind and I'm having a hard time with this. I said, so what big is that to me? You know, I'm blind too. I'm really not terribly sympathetic. And I finally, and then he started talking about stuff that wasn't even making any sense. And I just finally said, look, you know, I'm telling you what this is. You don't even seem to know what I'm talking about. And at that point, I think he decided he better kick the problem up to somebody else. And he did, and I got it solved. But it was, I was pretty irked.
I'll call them and see what I do.
Yeah, but yeah. I think yours is going to be simple. The keys aren't working the way they're supposed to, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't even get to the menus, and I think they're going to have you send it back.
Is there a way to do a hard reset?
I don't think there is. I don't know of any, but
that system reboot may be as close to it as you get. But you
that's just restarting Windows.
Yeah.
This thing I think is some kind of a hardware problem.
It's got something hung up in the memory.
Yeah, I don't think there's a reset for that docking station.
And Sean, if they want your serial number, which they're probably going to want, the serial number is on the invoice that you got from. Or you can call Chip and get it, but
yeah,
the serial number is on the invoice. I don't know how to get it from the unit itself. There's probably a way to do it.
Well, there is, except that you can't get to it, and the reason you can't get to it is because the menus don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's...
I wonder if it's on the machine somewhere.
I don't know.
It may, if it is, it's not in Braille.
Well, I was going to say, if it is, it might be on the bottom.
Yeah, there's no Braille on the bottom.
Oh, okay. So you've had it out of the case already, so you know that.
Yep, I'll just put it back, flip it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to have to... Yeah, you may have to talk to Chip or whoever, you know, got you.
Chip's the guy that sold them to us, that sold mine to rehab. Well, both of ours. Both of us got them through rehab, and...
Oh,
Chip's the guy, the dealer out of Pensacola that rehab got him from.
See, this thing, my display, I'm sitting on the system tray, and it's the first thing, I guess, is the Intel processor. It says SYST sign RAY space.
Yeah,
INTEL, and then a .4R. What's that? I'm a .45R. What is that?
That's registered. That's the
registered trademark.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all Windows stuff. Sean,
yeah.
That's just right. You know, and if you tab, you'll get off of the system tray and onto something else.
Okay.
Yep, and you tab again, you'll be on the desktop.
Right.
Well, okay. So, is there any more that we can do today, or you think we're good for now?
I think we're good for right now.
Yeah, I think
we'll get hers going and practice a little bit, and we'll be back
in
touch with you.
Well, and you know, if at some point you're trying to do something and you just want a quick reminder, I mean, just give me a call, because, you know, sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, we all have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, thanks a bunch.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, good luck getting that fixed, and you know, just keep me posted, and we'll do another session and see what we can do. And
down to the warm, sunny south. Well, it hadn't been too sunny lately, but it's been warm.
Yeah, we had one warm day last week, and man, it was wonderful, but it's gone now. But, you know, and meanwhile, Mike, you know, just look, keep, you know, memorize as many of those keyboard commands as you can absorb.
I've got to start going to sleep at night with this manual, you know.
I don't know of any other way, because, you know, this thing is just, it's just a brute force learning curve.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we appreciate it, sir.
What's your email, Steve?
Glad to be of help.
I've got it, Sean. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep. You're welcome.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Well, we just...